live off the record with Shivago Lang is sponsored by Burger King, Royal Fidelity Bank and Trust, Royal Star Assurance, and BTC.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. Yeah, y'all thought y'all were gonna catch me, eh? No, it's Monday afternoon. I tried to take a break. I tried to take vacation, but it wasn't working out. I mean, I was just constantly interrupted doing things, and so I guess what I canceled my vacation, and so now I'm back today. You would have had another week of some recordings. You mightn't have been happy about that, but I would have been. But it's good to be back. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316-325-4316 or 325-4259-325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. I have for a while some special guests with me from the world famous Bahamas Technical and Vocational Institute, but I'm going to introduce them in a little while. I just want to take an opportunity to express some profound condolences to the family of the Honorable Maurice Moore, former Member of Parliament for High Rock and Cabinet Minister and a great colleague, on the passing of his wife, Sandra Moore, a beautifully wonderful, gracious lady who was, I have to tell you, in my early days, a great encouragement to me. Every time I saw her, just a great encouragement at that. So I want to express my condolences to their family on her passing. I have to think almost like my sister that she's in a better place. That's just based on that demeanor of hers and faith of hers. But, God bless them in this, I'm sure, difficult time for them. Also, to express condolences to the family of, the late now Haywood Cooper, distinguished businessman in Freeport, Grand Bahama. I had the privilege of attending church with many of his children who became good friends and good brothers in the faith and sisters in the faith. In fact, one of his daughters was my Sunday school teacher, and she's now passed also. And so our condolences to them on the passing of their father and grandfather. Okay, so as I told you, Bahamas Technical and Vocational Institute always have something going on and always trying to make sure that we at ZLive can help share what it is that they have going on. And so once again, we have with us BTVI to come and share some new information about some new stuff going on. So we have with us the Associate Vice President of Fund Development, Alicia Thompson, and distinguished alumni of BTVI, Wadi. I hope Ryan is here.
Right here, sir.
All right. So, Alicia, you are here, Madam Vice President. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you very much. I'm so happy to be here. And, of course, I bring greetings on behalf of my president, Dr. Robert Robertson, whom you know very well.
Yes, Robert, yes. He comes and he shares and always so unassuming. You wouldn't even know he's the president.
Absolutely. That's how he rolls. And, of course, you know, as well as the entire Distinguished Alumni Award Committee. I am also pleased to have joining me this evening Mr. Ryan Bethel, whom you have introduced already as a 1995 alumnus of ITC, now BTVI, and of course, he was the 2020 Distinguished Alumni Award recipient.
Okay. Welcome again. Thank you. Tell us, yeah, I mean, I know y'all always got something up. Give us some of them goodies now.
Absolutely. So what we are here today now, well, first I'd like to start off with a little bit of history. Last year, as a part of the RBC Race for the Kids initiative, we had our very first ever BTVI Distinguished Alumni Awards Recognition Ceremony. And we had that under the theme Runway to 5K. So that was a precursor to the race. And I want to at this time just make a quick shout out to LaSonia Mizik, the Managing Director and Head of Personal Banking at RBC, Royal Bank Bahamas Limited, because they made it happen for us. So during last year's ceremony, we recognized persons in three main categories. There was the Scholar Practitioner Award. So those were alum who, of course, they attended and then they came back as teachers. There were the Emerging Leaders Awards. So they were alumni who came out and they have businesses, very successful businesses. And then there was the general category of distinguished alum. So in total, we awarded 16 persons last year. And there was also another very special category, which was the Trailblazer Awards. And in that category, we recognized Minister the Honorable Jeffrey Lloyd, who is an alum, and he actually studied carpentry at what is BTVI now. We recognized our chairman, Mr. Kevin Basin, who at his time at BTVI did engineering, science, surveying, and technical drawing. And get this, we also recognized the first spouse, Mrs. Patricia Minnis, because she's an alumna. She actually did plumbing.
Okay.
So, touching all the levels. absolutely. And so now we are here today because we are planning our second Distinguished Alumni Award ceremony. Okay. And it is proposed for September of this year. And it's going to be in conjunction with another event, which we are not able to disclose at this time.
Oh, you're keeping secrets now. You're keeping secrets. Okay.
Only for a short while. You know, we cannot keep many secrets down here. And so we are here to call for nominations.
Okay. So members of the public are able to send in nominations of persons who they believe are fitting for awards from BTVI. Clearly, the person has to have been someone who attended BTVI.
Definitely. So we are here to call for the public. Listen, we have a flyer that's now up on our website, and it's a call for distinguished alum. And so we ask the question, do you know or are you a BTVI alum who has distinguished yourself through outstanding service to your community and or your chosen trade area? Are you a leader who boasts of outstanding professional personal successes? Then if so, you may be one of our 2021 award recipients.
You know, it's very interesting because, like, just as you mentioned that, I know of someone who wasn't BTVI when he went there.
Right.
But I mean, but his skills were so outstanding that he worked on the Atlantis project, all three phases. They wanted to keep him at that time and so forth. So I'm just saying that there are lots of people, they might not be big time business people, but in their profession, They have stood out. People know them. They are capable. And so these are the kinds of people also you're looking at.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you said that, because we want to dispel the fallacy that you have to be an angel or that you have to walk on water. We have some very ordinary alumni out there who have achieved extraordinary accomplishments. We want to hear about them. Mr. Lang, when we think about this whole COVID pandemic, which still persists, we saw how so many of our alum became essential workers in their own right. You know, can you imagine trying to function without a plumber or without an HVAC technician, especially how we had to be indoors for so long? And so I challenge everyone under the sound of my voice, just as you were able to think back about that person, I want persons to think about that mechanic, that cosmetologist, that nail technician, that HVAC technician, that welder, that office assistant, that contractor, that barber, that natural hair stylist, that upholsterer, that mason, you know, that person whom you know that you can always rely on, and ask the question. And I want you to ask them that question today. Did you attend BTBI? Did you attend ITC? Did you attend the CR Walker Technical? You know, because we are looking for those persons.
Because your alumni are, in fact, the certification of the effectiveness of your institute, is it not?
Absolutely. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
And I think that's so important for people to realize. You know, I tell students at the University of the Bahamas, listen, when people think of a distinguished place, they look to the people they produce.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So this is an important exercise for the Institute.
It is. It is. I'd also like to add, last year, all of our awardees either came from New Providence, from Nassau, from New Providence, or they came from Grand Bahama. And so I'd like to say now, we have extended, we've thrown this net out, we've cast this net out widely, because we know that we have alum who live throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and indeed throughout the world. You know, again, COVID-19 has shown us just how small the world is. And so we are making this call.
Brother Ryan, give me your surname, please.
Ryan Bethel.
Ryan Brother Bethel. Boy, you ain't no Elutra Bethel.
<That's all.
laughs> Right, there you go. See, you already covered one island outside of Grand Bahama and New Providence. So what did you do at BTVI?
In 1995, I did electronics. Let me tell you something. That was really the launching part of my career, because, you know, you have to come to the realization that not all our children will be college material. You got to accept that. I was one of those persons. And here we are years later. I give credence to most of my success to what I did at BTVI, because it was the launching pad to make me realize, you know, it wasn't good enough to just be able to fix things, but it was, I had to get to another level to know how these things operate and how to fix them. I learned that at BTVI, and even the entrepreneurship classes that they had down there just opened my eyes to the success of business.
Wonderful. And so when you went to BTVI, like, what was the thing that triggered you? I know you mentioned you didn't think you were college bound or such, but I mean, like, was there something saying go into electrical? What was it?
What really triggered me is when I went to work at Telco, I realized that I had to start at the bottom of the ladder as a tech 4, and then I saw these guys come in there and they would come in as tech 3, and I'd be like, oh, me and you went to school together, but you come here later. They went to BTVI for 1 year and got like a 2-3 year jump on me because they did one course. That was an eye opener for me. I need to go to BTVI.
Okay. So, and you are now your own and doing your own business and what have you?
Yes, sir. 18 years full time in the business and almost 30 years from doing the home thing and then just gradually just going.
Wow. And what's the name of your business?
Touch Control.
Okay, Touch Control. Boy, I love that. Woo, Touch Control. That's a good one. How you came up with that name?
Boy, Larry, that one comes straight from the Holy Spirit.
That's a good one. The Holy Spirit do you well. That's a good one. Touch Control. And you do what? What does Touch Control do?
We do home automation. As a matter of fact, you and I met down when you were down at Sapodilla, because my company did Sapodilla all the music.
I see. Okay. So you do home automation.
That's all.
Okay. I'm guessing like I need to talk to you.
Yes, sir.
And home automation is what, so people know?
home automation is more along the smart home technology. If you want to think lights, control your cameras, play music all throughout the house. We do home DS. We design them from the ground up. Anything to do with being lazy, you know.
All right. Clap, 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 yeah. Fion, clap, clap, fion.
Yeah, it's even simpler than that now. You walk around your house, cutting off all the lights every night. I just, hit one button on my bed to say good night. Shuts off everything.
Or you someplace in the U.S. or someplace in Europe, and you lock your door over the internet from at the front door.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. And the basis of this business and knowledge you have was BTVI.
Yes, sir. I cannot leave BTVI out of it because it forced me to dive even deeper. Because like I said, I was just like a natural technician. I could fix things, but I really didn't understand how they work. And tonight when I, share on the series that they're up tonight, I'll be telling my story of really how this whole thing happened. And you'll see that BTVI played a major role, major.
Okay, so Ms. Thompson, the deadline, the award is in September. You didn't give us a date. Is there a date set already?
Not at this time.
Okay, we have a date for the end. But it's in September. What's the deadline for nominations, and how do people submit nominations?
Okay, nominations opened actually on the 1st of July. And so now our deadline is next week Friday.
Okay.
Next week Friday is our deadline for the nominations. And let me tell you how nominations are to be done. But just before I say that, Ryan indicated that he will be the speaker this evening, and he's being a little modest because we are launching our Distinguished Alumni Speaker Series at BTVI this evening. It's virtual via Zoom, and Ryan is going to be our speaker. So again, we'd like to encourage persons, reach out to us at 502-6321 or 3, and we can provide you with the coordinates for the Zoom meeting. But how do you nominate someone? We invite you to visit our website at www.btvi.edu.bs. That's www.btvi.edu.bs. You will click on the Alumni Awards tab on the homepage. It will take you directly to our ad, and below that ad, you will see a link. That link, once you click on that, will take you to the application. Now, there are only a few questions on that, and it's just asking for some contact information for the nominee, that is the person that you're nominating, and then it's also asking you to tell us in 500 words or less why you feel that this person is deserving. Now, there's some persons who may say, I feel like writing. I'm not good at writing. But you want to send us a video? You want to do a recording? Then do that too. All we say is get it into us. Once you would have completed that application, then you will email us at nominations@btvi.edu.bs. That's nominations with an S at btvi.edu.bs. And if you've missed all of that, just give us a call. Give me a call at 502-6321 or 3, 502-6321 or 3, and I will be glad to accept your call. And if I'm not here, then Lori Tucker in the office here will accept your call.
But you also, and is the link for the series that Mr. Bethel is lecturing tonight, is that on the website as well, that information?
It is on the website. It was in the newspaper last week as well, in the Guardian last week. And so, yes, it is on the website. Visit us. And we'd like to see as many as. All are welcome.
Super. Listen, man, we are proud of BTVI. I know from personal experience, of course, I've interacted with BTVI as a guest speaker on occasions, and then as a cabinet minister responsible for BTVI for a period of time with alumni of BTVI, with lecturers, with the executives of BTVI. And I'm all around just proud of the Institute. I might as well tell you, your journey has been a long one. It's been up and down on occasions. I see it coming into its own now and so forth. And I only see it going higher and higher. And people like Mr. Bethel, just a really good reflections, examples of what it can produce. And my brother, we're proud of you too, man.
So remember, August 6th, deadline, August 6th, please. We want to hear from you.
Come back and let us know what's going on some more. And thank you so very much. We appreciate you always.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Alicia Thompson, Vice President at the BTVI, and Mr. Ryan Bethel of Touch Control. You wanted to be smart? Call him. Thank you, folks. So appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. When we come back, we're going to talk COVID-19. We'll be back after this break. You know that you're not alone.
Let's face it, in an increasingly competitive market, your business needs a competitive edge. That means offering your employees the benefits they want. Give them the benefit of retiring their way with the RF Multi-Employer Pension Plan. Choose from some of the best performing investment funds in the market while taking advantage of low administrative costs and professional management. Whether you're a team of 2 or 2,000, our pension specialists can design a plan for you. Contact us at pensions@rfgroup.com to learn more about the RF Multi-Employer Pension Plan. RF. Money at work.
Enjoy an elevated mobile experience with BTC giving you
unlimited talk for the best conversations,
unlimited data for all your online fun,
and unlimited roaming to stay connected while overseas
for just $50 per line.
Unlock unlimited mobile talk, data, and roaming when you sign up for BTC super fast fiber internet with speed starting at 100 megabits per second. Enjoy more great savings and value. Upgrade or sign up today. Visit any BTC store or btcbahamas.com. Conditions apply.
The Sourdough King is back at Burger King Nassau. This fan favorite features 2 quarter-pound savory flame-grilled beef patties topped with thick-cut smoked bacon, 4 slices of melted American cheese, ketchup, and creamy mayonnaise, all on toasted sourdough slices. Get your sourdough sandwich as a single or a double and add ice-cold Pepsi and fries or onion rings for a perfect way to fill your day. The flame-grilled Sourdough King is only here for a limited time and only available at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Trev, Johnny Mo's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pull my phone out, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep. Send pics of the damage, file my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of.
You got to go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. So glad you could join us. If you want to give us a call at all, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. I do want to take this time also to express condolences to the family of Kendall KCX Colebrook, also a activist and advocate for progress in the country, who passed away. Young gentleman too, and the trust and hope for the comfort of his family in this difficult time. My mother said to me, "Shibago, every time you get a call these days now, it seems like you are having, not me personally, but just people generally having to get some information, some message that someone has passed away." And these are trying and difficult times for sure. So we are once again battling a surge of cases of COVID-19. We are not alone in this regard. It seems that the whole world is once again battling COVID-19 surges. If you look at any number of tracking websites for this COVID-19, you'll see that in practically every continent outside of Antarctica, the battle rages. Whether you are in the East Southeast Asia, or the Americas, or Europe, less so in the Eastern Mediterranean and Africa, even though they still have their own battles as well. This COVID-19 is raging, and a great deal of it is being attributed to the Delta virus, which is a much more infectious strain. We are at home having our own battles. By the way, the global situation now seems to be higher than 800,000 daily new cases of COVID being reported. Here in the country, only recently, a press conference was held where the minister and others revealed that the country is once again in a grim, end quote, grim circumstance when it comes to the COVID pandemic, with 600 cases recorded in the week past, and 100 additional deaths since March of last year. And the healthcare system, obviously under the strain of all of that, being highly burdened, right? And so we are in the midst of it. We've had like 272 new COVID cases and 3 deaths from Thursday and Saturday gone. And that's quite a bit. And the cases obviously are most in New Providence, where there were some 217 cases, Grand Bahama with 16 cases, and Eleuthera with 18 cases, Abaco with 12, Bimini with 5, and Exuma with 4. You have to ask yourself the question, you know, when I look at these islands, you ask yourself the question, what do they have in common? What do they have in common? That's a question to be asked. I'm going to talk about the analysis of what's going on in a little while, but that's the first question that stands out to me is, what do they have in common, those particular islands? The death toll to date now is at 282. And we've had some people die not from COVID as it had been recorded. I mean, not from COVID, because that wouldn't have been recorded as COVID deaths, but they died with COVID, 66 persons. And there are some 23 deaths still under investigation, as we are told. 100 people remain hospitalized with COVID, and 10 of them are in intensive care. I didn't get any information about the age spread of those persons, but if it is true, similar to what is happening in the United States in particular, it's on other parts of the world, it seems like the age categories have widened in terms of who is being affected. So younger people can no longer be said to be not impacted. In fact, I think that disproportionately now they seem to be more impacted by the current wave that's going on. But we have 100 people hospitalized, 10 in intensive care. Our positivity rate had risen up to 42%, floating now around 16 to 25%. And so we have an issue. We have an issue that threatens our social and economic stability, just as the pandemic did when it first emerged. And the minister said something that I want to make some comments about. He said, listen, this global pandemic is not over. Well, you know, frankly, folks, the global pandemic ain't never been over. And this, I think, is part of our great challenge, right? First of all, who declared COVID-19 a pandemic? Who did that? It was the World Health Organization. And they have a set of metrics to define what is an endemic and what is a pandemic. And so they're the ones defining this as a pandemic. Until they define it as no longer a pandemic, it's a pandemic. Now, how do you approach pandemics, right? As long as they are prevailing, they represent a health threat and a social and economic threat of disruption. That's the reality, right? Because it's a pandemic. It's a widespread phenomena of a communicable disease, all right? And so no one ever declared, at least the people who declared it a pandemic to begin with, never declared that the pandemic was over. No one did. So we can't be surprised by it. We shouldn't be having to retell the story that we are in a pandemic, because no one declared it ended. Secondly, this virus, we are told, like the flu and other things, is probably going to be with us for a while. We were told that. We know that to be so. We know that the virus doesn't check in a containable way until there is herd immunity. There is no way that it gets checked until there's your herd immunity. You can treat it as you treat colds, as you treat flus, no problem, buddy. But guess what? When you treat it, you just got it. That's a different story, right? And the treatment means that you got it. And if you got it, that means some people are going to get mildly ill. Some people are going to maybe be asymptomatic. Some people are going to be deathly ill. And some people are going to die. So the more expensive way to contain the virus is by lots of people getting it, the majority of people getting it. That's a way, but it's the most expensive way. Life expense way. A treatment is going to be able to help people overcome perhaps the symptoms, but that doesn't help you overcome maybe some permanent challenges that this thing will bring to people ongoing. That's why I don't want it. I don't want my family members to have it, because we don't know who may be susceptible to very long-term, perhaps indefinite challenges as a consequence of COVID, right? So pandemics, the pandemic is only going to go away with that or with sufficient people being vaccinated, right? Or a combination of the two. We know that the world, we know that the Bahamas has neither of those two situations. So in the face of that, who could be surprised that the pandemic isn't over? Certainly no one home here who's paying attention. We haven't done the necessary to either end the endemic at home or the pandemic abroad. That has not been accomplished yet. Okay? But what I would like to say is this. Maybe the government ought to be careful how it leads, because frankly, in too many statements and perhaps in too many actions, the indication was this thing may have been beaten, pushed back far, or maybe over. You see, people take leads. You may not even intend them to take a certain lead, but people take leads. And I said on this show some time ago that we have to be careful when we are signaling to people that, well, you know, we can get back to some normalcy now. We can get back to some, you know, the usual things, you know what I mean? And I don't know that anything is more usual than looking at John Canoe and going back in the John Canoe shack, right? Because think about this for a moment, folks. You've been pent up. You've been locked away, curtailed for over a year. It wasn't 3 months we were in this that people wanted to be free. People wanted to be free to go get their jobs back. People wanted to be free to go get their businesses back. People wanted to be free to be able to get their social life back. People just wanted to be free because they just want to be free. And all of a sudden, maybe you start getting signals from places that you pay attention to that maybe freedom is here or freedom is more, almost on the way. Well, that is natural in those circumstances for people then to start acting free. Now, acting free doesn't only mean going out dining, going out dancing. Acting free means maybe relaxing the vigilance with respect to protocols too, because again, you could be free as and I can move about more and maybe the curfew is later, but I won't be free from this mask wearing and all this having to be vigilant about how close I am to this one and the next one. And all of a sudden now you get this creep. And remember, we seem to forget this. Listen, man, it doesn't take a whole lot of people to cause this virus to go viral, right? It only takes enough people in the right circumstance of connections to be able to cause this thing to go supernova. Okay? Let me give you an example of that. There is a phenomenon that Malcolm Gladwell describes in his book, Outlier, and I think it's Outlier, in which he said, he asked the question, how do trends explode? And what his research suggested is there are some of us who are called super social networkers. Like some of us, your network might be okay, but it ain't that widespread. But there are other people who their socializing is so impactful that they could touch 1,000, 2,000, 10,000 people on one shot. And you could have the same thing here. You have that right kind of socializing person. They walking around with that virus in their system spreading it. And because of the networks that they touch, because they could be socializing with plenty of people who socialize with plenty of people who socialize with plenty of people. And the next thing you know, boom, you're out there. So we had to have stopped playing, acting like this virus, this pandemic was over. So we can't just say it. We have to act like it wasn't over. Now, let me give an example of that, right? When the pandemic first emerged, what did the government do? The government hit the airwaves, packed the protocols, held weekly press conferences, sometimes more in a week. Why? There was an urgency. It curtailed activity and so forth because why? There was an urgency and an emergency. And then all of a sudden, Some of that kind of was pushed back. And I understand why. I understand it. But what happens is we get hold of that and all of a sudden we're acting a little less vigilantly than we were acting before. So now here we are again. New surge. New situation. And the government has responded by saying, well, something has to change. And I agree something has to change. Now, whether these measures are the things that need to change, that's a debate that can be had. Measures like what? The government is now targeting New Providence, Grand Bahama, Eleuthera as the critical places where the surge is taking place. And so now the curfew for those islands from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. I think that's a movement for some from 11 and a movement for some for 12, but mostly 11. So maybe an hour or two movement up. Maybe even it was 8 and Grandmama maybe. I don't know. But the government has decided, okay, we're going to move the curfew up to 10 p.m. To 5 a.m. in those islands. Will that make a material difference to the spread of COVID? Honestly, I have no basis whatsoever on planet Earth to know. I have none. No one has offered me any. I do know that across the globe, curfews are in effect. Whether or not 1 hour or two hour makes a difference, I don't know. If you believe curfews make a difference at all, then maybe it's reasonable to believe that moving it, extending it, makes a difference. How much of a difference? Who knows? We don't know. I don't know. I haven't seen anything that can help me appreciate how much difference that makes. Outside of this, as a signaling mechanism, as a means of indicating that you are getting more serious because your situation is more serious, okay, maybe that's a material way to help get people's mindset in the mode that yes, this is getting serious. Okay. Also private gatherings are now restricted to no more than 5 vaccinated individuals on all islands of the Bahamas. Private gatherings. Now, what's a private gathering? What's the definition of a private gathering? I really would like to know. So if I had a public meeting, right? I want to protest something. I want to hold a rally. Is that a private gathering? Is it private as in not government sanctioned or not government related? Or is it private as in if I just any set of non-governmental people decided to do it, it's private. What is private? What's a private gathering? I don't really know. I don't know if that there was a definition provided. But in any event, if you decide to have a gathering, folk, chances are you better think and know it's not more than 5 people. Does that mean that if 5 people can't, that means that 5 people can't come in my house at any one time? And that means that if I already have 7 people living in my house, so we are wake away and do something. But what does that mean? I'm just asking. Indoor dining is prohibited except at hotels. Okay. And so is it reasonable to ask if indoor dining is prohibited except at hotels, what is it about hotels, indoor dining that makes them safer than indoor dining anywhere else? So if the tourists who dine in the hotels were in the hotel dining, but rather than in the hotel dining, dining in a restaurant outside the hotel, how would that be different for spreading COVID than people dining at the hotel? What is the difference? When you are announcing public policy, it isn't necessarily the case that you don't have a rationale for the things that you are doing, but you should have one so people can understand, because understanding promotes compliance. Understanding promotes cooperation. Okay, understanding promotes coordination. And so why the distinction between remember now, if we are trying to not impact the economy as much as we could if we really curtail things, then we have to ask ourselves, okay, am I also creating new issues in that impact if I have a policy measure that really in substance isn't rational or consistent, right? So no indoor dining except at hotels. And other businesses are required to limit the number of people allowed inside at any one time. What is the limit? Limit meaning what? What's the limit? How many people can a business allow inside at any one time? Sure, because if you say limit, that's my discretion. Remember now, and I tell people, I don't even apologize for this. Listen, the profit motive in a free enterprise system is so powerful, so strong, that it leads owners to find the closest point to the edge of the mountain to drive in order to make those profits. So if you say limited, they will say, okay, in my head, limited means that's 50 people coming inside here. Oh, the profits. Yeah, that's 50 people. I mean, 51 people, I'm not letting 51 people in. Does that help the COVID case? Don't know. All right? So then you have measures relating to political campaigning. So now you can't campaign unless you're fully vaccinated. I'd like to see who's going to enforce that. I'd like to see people walk up to F&M and PLP poll workers, and presumably it only could be the police or the COVID ambassadors, and say, can I see your vaccination proof, please? Who's going to come? I mean, I think it's a good idea, but that's going to be a little hard to enforce. And then you have RT-PCR tests and are required to travel to any family island from New Providence, Grand Bahama, North or South Eleuthera, including Nob Island. So that $130, $140, $150, boom, you want to travel? You're back. Religious services have been again amended to 33% capacity and limited to for 1 hour. Again, I suspect that certainly can be a better situation than an outright liberal situation, for sure. But, you know, so funeral and cremation services are no longer permitted. So we're almost back to last year, March and beyond. Gyms are operating at 33% capacity. Okay. Dining is restricted outdoor and takeaway services. And this 33% is the case for movie theaters. So just a whole host of new measures have been announced. Spas, including all business, providing massages, waxing, threading, and facials are not allowed to open. That's been a liberal situation for a little bit now. I know it to be so. And as it relates to the fish fry, that's, I guess, loitering on there is prohibited. So you can't just go and hang out. You got to go order, pick up, and move on, presumably. The government obviously decided something has to be done. I agree with the government that something needed to be done. You know, there is a law of thermodynamics that says that if you set something in motion or if it's in place, that nothing changes until some force working in the opposite direction to it changes it. So if COVID-19 is moving in a given direction as in increased numbers under a certain set of circumstances, nothing then moves that in the opposite direction except an opposite force. What that opposite force is always the question, is always the question to be answered. And when we come back from the news break, I'm going to talk about the combination of factors that I feel at home and abroad that are contributing to the forward motion of this pandemic. A number of factors. It ain't no one thing. A lot of times you hear people say, oh, this was causing it, that was causing it. But first of all, it's really hard to know scientifically what's causing it because the analysis that we are getting is not speaking to it. Not in that way. We haven't any information at this time, saving and except for some thoughts of people as to what is in fact contributing to our new surge. But there are a number of things we can consider, and maybe we'll see how they together may be contributing to our situation. And it's serious, folks. It's serious, and I am very concerned. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, we'll keep looking at this COVID situation that we're in and where we go from here. We'll be back after the news.
Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
In view of the global shortage of medical masks, the World Health Organization recommends that medical masks be prioritized for health workers, people who are sick, and their caregivers at home. In consideration of this, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends the use of cloth face masks by the public to slow the spread of COVID-19. In consultation with the Ministry of Health, the Prime Minister of the Bahamas has requested that Bahamians wear cloth face masks outside their homes. Such masks can be utilized in places such as grocery stores and pharmacies. These masks can function to reduce the transfer of respiratory droplets by the wearer. While cloth masks offer some protection, you are more protected if you follow the recommended preventative measures in addition to wearing the cloth mask. These measures include staying at home, practicing physical distancing at least 6 feet apart from others, washing your hands often for at least 20 seconds, and not touching your face. Our healthcare providers need personal protective equipment while caring for patients. It is important to allow them to have the resources they need to function properly. If the public use cloth face masks, this reduces the chance of having a shortage of medical masks for the healthcare workers. Masks should be used safely and properly. Let us protect ourselves and each other.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
Sourdough King is back at Burger King Nassau. This fan favorite features 2 quarter-pound savory flame-grilled beef patties topped with thick-cut smoked bacon, 4 slices of melted American cheese, ketchup, and creamy mayonnaise, all on toasted sourdough slices. Get your sourdough sandwich as a single or a double and add ice-cold Pepsi and fries or onion rings for a perfect way to fill your day. The flame-grilled Sourdough King is only here for a limited time and only available at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Enjoy an elevated mobile experience with BTC giving you
unlimited talk for the best conversations,
unlimited data for all your online fun,
and unlimited roaming to stay connected while overseas
for just $50 per line.
Unlock unlimited mobile talk, data, and roaming when you sign up for BTC super fast fiber internet with speed starting at 100 megabits per second. Enjoy more great savings and value. Upgrade or sign up today. Visit any BTC store or btcbahamas.com. Conditions apply.
Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Trev, Johnny Mo's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pulled up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep. Sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of...
You got to go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid.
take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon, where we're talking about this current surge of COVID-19 that we are experiencing along with many parts of the world. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I understand we have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you. All right, go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead. Hi, you're breaking up. Hello? Okay, maybe you want to call back. I'm not sure what's going on. You know, I have to say that COVID-19 obviously has taken a different turn, because when significant Republican personalities in the United States of America, Fox News media personalities and major political figures are now urging people to take COVID-19 seriously, to get vaccinated, to mask up. I mean, think about how significantly contrasting that is from what was the case, right? Because clearly something is happening with COVID now that they weren't seeing in the height and hype of their political season. And that was that many Republicans who have not subscribed to vaccinations, did not subscribe to mask wearing, are being significantly affected, even dying because of COVID. And so now you have the likes of a Sean Hannity, for instance, from Fox News, who's now compelling people to go ahead and get vaccinated, to mask up, to believe in science, and so forth and so forth. It is a different world, okay? So, I talked about what's happening around the world with COVID. What's happening? What's happening here at home and the changes that the government has introduced in order to address the situation. First of all, let me say, so that there's no mistake. When people are opposed to something the government does, we are very clear. And then when we are supportive of what it does, we are not so clear. Let me be very clear. That the government of the Bahamas, the Minnis administration, is taking steps to address the current wave, that they are doing that, makes absolutely good sense to me. Okay? Now, the measures that it is taking, to the extent that they represent a means of curtailing the one thing that the virus absolutely wishes to be able to flourish, also makes sense to me. For instance, the virus wants people to be interacting often and closely. I want you to think about that for a moment, folks. Okay? This virus, in order to survive, needs to jump from host to host to host. Well, it can't jump from host to host if the hosts are separated and if they are not interacting frequently. So obviously, any measure that minimizes the frequency of interaction and reduces the increases the distance of interaction works against the virus. That's the reality. That's just not even ingenious. That's just basic science. Okay? That's basic virology of a communicable disease. Okay? So anything that is going to reduce the frequency of interaction with the potential of an affected person getting in touch with a non-infected person obviously works against the virus. The virus doesn't like that. Anything that intensifies people's sanitation habits, meaning that it keeps them washing their hands and so forth, and the environment, works against the virus. The virus doesn't want that. The virus can't thrive in that kind of environment. Anything that has your orifices, like your nose and your mouth, covered works against the virus because its most fundamental entry point into the host is through the nose and the mouth. So the virus on the eyes. So the virus, if you reduce the opportunity through, like for instance, through mask wearing, appropriate mask wearing, if you reduce that opportunity, you are not creating an environment for the virus to thrive. So the virus doesn't want those things. So to my mind, any measure the government is taking to reduce the virus's opportunity to spread makes sense in the wake of a surge. Now, the nuclear bomb of that measure is shutting everything down. But we know we ain't going back there. We know that's not going to happen unless this thing takes such a drastic turn that you don't have a choice. So we know that's not going to happen. So what do you do if you can't drop the nuclear bomb? Well, you got to have strategic strikes where the virus has the most opportunity to spread. So many of these measures represent efforts in that direction. The only comment I tend to take with the measures is where I can see one either some inconsistency with it or irrationality, and it's only my view, and or where I see enforceability being an issue, because in many instances they will tell you, you know, public policy has to be enforceable. Otherwise, what's the point, right? Or you rely on people's, you know, just sheer personal responsibility to help move you in that direction. So that the government has decided to do something, 100% with that. That some of these measures can be helpful, I believe so. That some of them represent some inconsistency, I also think so. But I'm not going to argue about the broad point. I'm not going to argue that. Now, what the government, these measures are coming weeks before the emergency order is due to expire. Right? I think it was around August 16 or something like that. Will they expire? I don't know. Should they expire? Let me talk with something else before I go there. So let me give you my take on something, some additional take. Okay? To my mind, there's a combination of factors that are working at home and abroad to produce this surge. A combination of factors, right? One of those factors to me, one of the factors, is the continuing dynamism of this viral threat, okay? COVID-19 is a dynamic pandemic, as many tend to be, meaning that you didn't get just one strain of the virus enduring throughout the life of the pandemic. This virus is changing on. Okay? It's getting smarter. Okay? This virus said, okay, at the beginning, I'm only affecting basically older people and people who have pre-existing conditions. And now they kind of caught on to that. And so they tried to protect the older people and people with pre-existing conditions. And while I was able to kill a lot of people, really, if I'm going to survive, I need to be able to get at some more people. So the virus is mutating. So you've got the the alpha, and the, now you have the delta and the virus. The delta virus says, you know what, good, now I can touch more people because I'm affecting younger people, even children, more, and I'm affecting people across the spectrum now. So that gives me more opportunity to survive, because that's what this virus has no other interest but to survive. This virus isn't interested in no charity. It's not interested in any community projects. It isn't interested in your economic development and prosperity. This virus is about, I want to live and be on this planet forever. And to do that, I need to be in bodies that are alive. And so it's going to change up where it sees its environment is constraining. And so it's done that. So we have that happening. And it's prevailing and it's persistent. It has not gone away. Then you have, combined with the dynamism of this virus, you have increased liberalization of people activity in the face of slowdown, political pressure, and personal anxieties. So what happened was, you have this economic hardship put on people, and it's hard. It's to not make money, to not be in a position to pay your bills. That's hard. That's challenging. So people pressing. We want to be able to go back to work. We want to be able to do our businesses again. And so in the face of that, there's pressure to liberalize. Then the politician says, well, people are unhappy. They can't work. They're not making money. They're not able to move about. They feel like I got all kind of power. I'm exercising over them, that they don't want me to be exercising over them. And so the politician, knowing that popularity is his currency, wants to free these people up. And so he's now maybe looking at the science and saying, the hell with the science, because if I do the science, I'm going to suffer the polls. So you have that political pressure. Then you have personal anxieties. People are just, listen, I'm tired of being cooped up. I'm tired of people telling me I can't go. Yeah, I'm tired of not being able to see my mom, not being able to see my dad, not being able to hang out with my friends. The hell with that. I want to be able to be free. So what happens over time? You're liberalizing. What does liberalizing mean? More activity, more interaction, and close interaction. What does that mean for the virus? The virus is celebrating. Boom, shakalaka, boom. The virus is celebrating. Okay, so that's another thing that's combining with the dynamism of the virus. In addition to that, you have reduced vigilance and compliance at both the personal and corporate level. Why? I want to be free, and things aren't as bad as it used to be anymore. So I can touch my friend and be closer to my friend or my coworker, and I can take my mask. And especially, I've seen this too often. I'm going to take my mask down when I'm talking to you. And then when I'm done, I'm going to put it up. Defying the whole point of the mask. So you have this reduced vigilance and compliance that I have myself personally seen, not just here in the Bahamas, but at home, I mean, in the United States and other places, I've seen the reduced vigilance. Okay? There are people who are vaccinated, who know that they are better off in many instances than people who are not vaccinated, but they too are throwing caution to the wind. And so you have this reduced vigilance and compliance combined with increased liberalization, combined with the dynamism of the virus, all creating opportunities for the virus to celebrate. Because it's creating the environment it wants. On top of that, there's something I call the antibiotic syndrome. At work. What is the antibiotic syndrome? And if you're a doctor, you could text me or call me and tell me if I lie. You tell people, I'm giving you a week worth of antibiotics, 2 weeks worth of antibiotics, because you came to me, you told me you have an infection, and I'm trying to cure you. I told you the instruction is take the full dosage. Doctors, tell me how many people take 3 days and start to get better, and then stop taking the antibiotics. Many people do that. And that's the same thing that happens with us. We implement measures to curtail COVID-19. We get a lull, and all of a sudden we start celebrating. We need to be so, don't take the medicine no more. We good. I feel good. I'm good. And what happens? Doctors will tell you. Sometimes that infection comes back double fold. And sometimes it comes back with a strain that is resistant to the antibiotics that first were administered. And then they got to give you a new set of antibiotics that's more powerful. And sometimes they get to a point where they can't give you any antibiotics because the infection is resistant to all of them. Guess what's happening now? Anyway, you have now more aggressive viral strains like the Delta virus. Why? From any number of natural mutating factors or perhaps even some common sense learning from how to deal with the body having been treated with certain things. Okay, so you have that. So you have now all these five things combining, and then I ain't finished yet, you know. Then you have low vaccine compliance. See, the virus knows. The virus knows. He said, listen, I know that vaccines, these vaccines they got, they aren't going to perfectly stop me. But Lord, they're slowing me down. Oh my goodness, they are slowing me down. I can't even make these people as sick as I would make them. Because the sicker I could make them, the more they cough, the more they spit, and the more infection they can spread. But I'm not getting them that sick. In fact, plenty of them just asymptomatic. That's not helping me. They're not helping me. I need to get from this body to the next body. But the vaccines are not being administered broadly enough, so not enough of the population is vaccinated for the virus to feel like, boy, this is it's getting tight up in here. You know, if you're a basketball player, you know when the defense is slack, and you could find big gaps and holes you could go through in order to make a layup, hit a shot. But when that defense tightens up, boy, you know it. And you try to move, you try to spin this way left, you try to spin that way right, and nothing. The defense ain't giving you nothing. They lock you right down. That's how the virus is with vaccination. But when not enough people are being vaccinated, the virus says, well, it's a happy time for me. And the low vaccination is due to some supply issues. So in some instances, people can't get the vaccine because it's not available. In other ways, it's a demand issue in which there's genuine concern about some or all of the all of the vaccines. There's also political jaundice on the part of some. There is a fact that some people politically have decided that I'm not going to take this vaccine because my people ain't the one who dealing with it for me. There's misinformation in the way, etc. So there's a number of things. Notice what I said now, because some of you are so sensitive. I said there are genuine concerns people have, health and otherwise, and then there are political issues, and there's misinformation. So that's at work with all the other things. And then there's vaccine limitations, right? What are the limitations? The vaccines are limited in what they can do in totality, okay? And so what we're finding now, what we're seeing in Israel, they are now exploring giving people booster shots, because what they are finding, especially in some of their older populations, is that over the months, the effectiveness of the virus, of the vaccines to keep these folk safe is being reduced. And so they are exploring whether to give booster shots. So the vaccines have limitations, but that's combining with the low vaccine compliance, the more aggressive viral strains, the reduced vigilance and compliance, the increased liberalization, and the continuing dynamism of the vaccine. And then finally, for me, what's contributing is political expediency. Man, we can't shut the economy down. People are hurting. We need the money. We can't be causing people to be angry with us. And so, under political expedience, you make choices that you might not have made if politics was not as much of an issue. And that's where we are. In my view, among the things that are contributing to this situation. I got one text here. Let me read that. A couple, actually. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Do we know from the people that are getting sick, are they vaccinated or not? The last set of information I had was that most of the people who were getting sick were not vaccinated. That was when I listened to Dr. Forbes on a show. I do not know what the situation is today. And so I don't want to pretend to know. I have sought to get the answer. I have not been able to get an answer yet. So if I find out, if I get an answer, I'll let you know. Says, great show as usual. The PM coming to speak on Wednesday. Do you think he's going to for the full 16-week lockdown or the mini 2-week lockdown? Not a possible chance, in my view, that is going to happen. Not my view, but I could be wrong, dead wrong. Says, wow, why didn't you stay in frontline politics? You would have been PM, making a lot of sense. These guys don't listen to sound advice. At least the nation can hear you. Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I didn't stay in politics because I got kicked out. That happens. People have a right to do that. To decide, don't want like them no more. And that's okay. I mean, okay. And so now I'm doing some different things. But for me, the idea is that we need to try to push forward on solutions and understanding, right? You know, there's certainly blame to go around. There's certainly criticism to go around. I'm not even getting caught up in whether there's none or not. That's whoever wants to take that up, that's fine. Whoever wants to take the complimenting up, that's fine too. But you know, we have to push toward understanding and then push toward solutions. So I'm going to talk about some thoughts I have about solutions soon. But we have some more text I want to read for you. This text says the WHO must carry some of the blame for the initial continental spread because of their reluctance to declare human-to-human transmission and believing everything China said without ever being given raw data from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Okay, I got you. This text says, if I was PM, I would announce that elections would be next year and concentrate fully on COVID situations, just saying, you know what? You know what? Frankly speaking, as a national statesman-like approach and move, certainly a non-political move, I totally see you. I totally hear you. I totally get you. I mean, I'm serious. That what if someone said, listen, man, the hell with elections. The hell whether I win or lose or not. It's going to be held later on, and whatever happens, happens. But my total concentration today is going to be, let's get this thing under control. Let's get our people healthy, our environment healthy. I get you. Now, is that pragmatic and practical? I can tell you from the politics I know. No, sorry, Bob. This text is, Mr. Lang, are you aware that virus and viral practices can and do travel in the rain, dust, and other weather systems? Scientists are now paying more on studying this transmission. Yes, of course. You have, listen, anywhere a virus can travel and still be alive creates an opportunity for the virus to move about. So yes, but I mean, all that does is add to the complexity of the situation. It doesn't take away from anything else. So we have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Okay. Maybe not. We're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Alain, your host. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion.
Let's face it, in an increasingly competitive market, your business needs a competitive edge. That means offering your employees the benefits they want. Give them the benefit of retiring their way with the RF Multi-Employer Pension Plan. Choose from some of the best performing investment funds in the market while taking advantage of low administrative costs and professional management. Whether you're a team of 2 or 2,000, our pension specialists can design a plan for you. Contact us at pensions@rfgroup.com to learn more about the RF Multi-Employer Pension Plan. RF. Money at work.
Enjoy an elevated mobile experience with BTC giving you
unlimited talk for the best conversations,
unlimited data for all your online fun,
and unlimited roaming to stay connected while overseas
for just $50 per line.
Unlock unlimited mobile talk, data, and roaming when you sign up for BTC Superfast Fiber Internet with speed starting at 100 megabits per second. Enjoy more great savings and value. Upgrade or sign up today. Visit any BTC store or BTCBahamas.com. Conditions apply.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit RSABahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 4224796. That's 4224796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So what's the solution? COVID-19 is here. Criticizing, cussing the government, me, one, the planet, changes nothing. Absolutely nothing. Criticizing, okay, that there's a place for that. There's a place for that because sometimes we can learn in the midst of that criticism. We are able to learn. So I don't have a challenge with that at all. But what's the solution? What do we do? Because it's here. The surge, this new surge is here, and it's a challenging one. It's got a combination of factors that are contributing to its spread. And I mean, it's big time. I mean, the United States of America is going in the wrong direction, Dr. Fauci says. Israel, even as I indicated, are now looking at new measures. They're looking at new measures in New Zealand. They're looking at new measures in many European countries, in some of the Asian countries. New measures are being put in place. Why? To respond to this phenomenon. And remember, the things I talked about that are going on, the combination of things, they're going on in other places in the world too. The same politics, same liberalization, the same dynamism of the virus, all those things are taking place in the world too. And maybe that's why in common we are all experiencing this phenomenon, right? So what do we do? Well, one of the things that I appreciate in this circumstance is, boy, we are not without options. We are not. And the please listen to mom. The least expensive option, the least expensive option confronting us is the option of doubling up on our own personal responsibility. That's the least expensive. It's the one we can be the most in control of. I can, you can, without the government mandating it, without anybody pressuring us, I can decide, okay, what can I do to keep me and my family safe? What can I do? I mean, I don't know, prime minister, cabinet ministers, members of parliament, church leaders, etc. No, I don't have nothing to do with them. When when I hear gunshots, when I see a fire break out, when I see an accident happening, I know what to do to try and protect myself and my family. So you have a surge. What can I do? So what the science have said to us is, remember when COVID first started, science said, listen, please, please, please wash your hand frequently. Please, please, please sanitize your environment. Please, please, please keep a distance from people at least 6 feet as you interact with them. The science said, please, please, please wear a mask. We weren't so sure about them at the beginning, but now we're quite sure that they are helpful. Wear a mask. So we can do all of those things. Anybody need to tell me to do that? We can do all of those things. Nobody need to tell me to limit my interaction. I can keep my backside limited in interaction my own self. I don't have to go in any crowds. I don't have to go any place that represents an increased risk to myself. I have a few friends, listen to me, from this thing break, they have decided their own selves, whether for business or personal purposes. There are some things I'm not doing, simply not doing. Even when they interact with colleagues, if they do so outside, they do so in vehicles because they have decided. This isn't about the government. If I defy the government and get COVID, the government didn't get COVID. If I defy the government and get in the hospital, the government didn't go in the hospital. If I defy the government and die, the government didn't die. I died. My family died. My child died. So first thing, first solution, it's the least expensive and probably the most impactful we can do is we can redouble our own vigilance and say, listen, man, listen to me, child. We ain't playing that no more. We got to clamp down for our own health and safety's sake. We have got to comply with the measures. And we are going to do that. I will park right there with silence. Right there, I want to park and say, listen, it's the bar none most effective thing we can do today. Just double it up. Have your family meeting. Sit down with your family members. All of them. Listen, guys. This thing is serious. It's getting even worse. We have to be vigilant. Let's go over the protocols again. Let's go over the measures we're going to take as a family again. Because remember, you have to treat your family like a unit. Because if people are moving in and out of your space, whatever risk they take, you have taken with them. If they go to places where they can be adversely exposed, then come in your house where you are all going to be less vigilant, then you are going to be exposed. And so the unit has to take the responsibility of protecting itself. And what a great opportunity to reemphasize the importance of family in that way. And our commitment to each other, our commitment to preserve ourselves and to look out for each other. What a wonderful opportunity to do it. But once again, listen, if you decide, man, the hell with George Shivago, the hell with the government and so forth, I can do me, I can do what I got to do. Okay, bro, you take the chance to be affected and maybe affecting some of us. But how do we protect ourselves from people like them? Is you protect yourself. You say, okay, listen, bro, I love you. You're my friend. You're my uncle, my auntie, my brother, my sister, my mommy, my daddy. But you have decided you want to behave in certain kinds of ways. And until you change, I'm sorry. This is as far as we get to interact. You have something that you want to talk to me about? See my gate there or see the door there? I could talk to you from this distance. Do not come closer to me than that. Don't come inside the house because I don't want to do it. Some of us have vulnerable parents. Vulnerable elderly people. We can't afford to be exposing them like that. So I'm sorry, got to give you a little bit of tough love. Still love you, bro. You say you need $10? Okay, I tell you what, I'm going to put it in an envelope and put it outside the door. You get it when you're ready. So we can protect ourselves, and we have to do that. And then there's vaccination, okay? It's a tool. It's one of the tools. Now, if you're not going to get vaccinated, I'm not having a debate about with you about being vaccinated. For me, I'm done with that. You don't want to be vaccinated? That's fine. I'm done with that. But you then, I'm saying, please try to do all the other measures. Protect yourself. Keep yourself safe. But those of you who are interested to take the vaccination, my hope is that enough supply becomes available. Please make sure you do it as soon as is possible. Okay? As soon as is possible. You and your health professional, work it out. Whatever the deal is, and get yourself satisfied about it, work it out. Maybe you don't like AstraZeneca, maybe the Pfizer comes. Maybe you don't like Pfizer, AstraZeneca, maybe you want a Johnson & Johnson, go fly away if you can and get it done. I don't, if you can't do it, you gotta take the ones that are available, right? So that's personal responsibility you have to double up on. That's just one solution. And then there's the government. There's the government of the Bahamas. What's the solution here? Listen to me. The government has to refocus on the central issue. And what's that central issue? Protecting the health of the nation. Now, let me tell you something. There's no one in government today who's going to tell me what they feel like today. I know what you feel like today. I know what it is to be preparing for an election. I know what it is to want to win again. I know what it is to know the people got you under the gun, because now the power is in their hands and they are making demands. And also they're finally saying, maybe I can get you back. Because you didn't do nothing for me. Or you got people who support you. So I know what that's like. I know what that's like. But I also know this. Until you no longer have that responsibility, you are responsible for the nation's well-being. That's also true. And life is about putting first things first. If you're in the post, the primary responsibility of the post is the protection of the nation. Not the winning of the next election. I know the tension. Don't listen. You know I know what the tension is. But the primary responsibility is the health and well-being of the nation. And so I'm going to take this final break. And when I come back, I'm going to talk to you about the four things that I think will represent refocusing on the central issue. And the central issue is protecting the health and well-being of the nation. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Alanios. We'll be back after this break. Did I miss something with the producer? You don't want me to take a break? Okay. All right. Let me start with what my four things are that the government would represent for the government refocusing on the central issue, which is protecting the health of the nation. The first thing is return or focus on the science. I mean, listen, let the science be uppermost in your minds when it comes to deciding what to do. That's the science, because you don't want to, on the one hand, argue with people that let's take a vaccine, and a vaccine represents science's weapon to fight the pandemic. You don't want to, on the one hand, be promoting that and saying that, and then on the other hand, in the other activity and actions you're taking, have people not believe that the science is at the forefront. And how would people know that the science is at the forefront of your decisions? Well, let the scientist say so. Let the scientist say so. Let the doctors, the medical professionals be at the forefront of saying why we have to do this and why this step was chosen. Listen, I'm sorry, but politicians, current, past, maybe even future, we got a challenge when it comes to trust in some areas of life, maybe all. Let the scientists say, listen, if we're going to fight this virus, if we're going to confront this virus, here are the things we need to do. Now, if it were, the scientist might say, the medical professional might say, if I had my way, we would have gone to 10% occupancy in restaurants, movie theaters, and churches. But as a compromise to the economic and social issues that are afoot, we believe the minimal compromise we could do is at 33%. So that's why we embraced it. We would have preferred 10%, but we believe we can get away with 33%. Let the scientists say that. Lead with the science. It's the thing that you have to trust. You want to trust, because where political discretion is believed to be the prevailing tool, then you're going to have trust at a discount. So you want to be able to let the science lead. And the way the science leads is let the professionals speak. And the professionals have to be able to speak. And secondly, messaging. We got to stay on message and be consistent with message. You see what happened? What happened when things started to get a little better? All of a sudden, we ain't got no more press conferences as regularly. No more regular messaging, no more regular warnings, no more regular advertisement. Well, when you stop doing that things, why do you expect that I don't think things are now maybe back to normal or ain't no big issue or ain't no emergency? Mind, you're holding the emergency power, and you could only be holding the emergency power because there's an emergency, but you're not acting like there's an emergency. And so the society picks up on that and says, okay, but there ain't no emergency. So you have to stay on message. You have to be able to advertise, promote the stuff, and say what's going on. You have to be able to do the press conferences, come on these talk shows, put your people on these talk shows. And I don't mean the politicians alone. I'm talking to the professionals. They are professionals. To keep the issue before us. Why? Because there is a pandemic afoot. And it has gone nowhere. So lead with the science. Be consistent with the messaging. Okay, only change the messaging when the circumstances change. But you have to still lead in the advising of people to be vigilant. I remind my son regularly, listen, guy, we keep the sanitation in the car. You get in the car, boom, 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 use your sanitizer. You come inside the house, you can't walk in the kitchen. Don't go get any water. Go straight inside the bathroom, take a shower. Bring them clothes, yeah. They got you going to dirty clothes on the wash up. Right? You going out to play? Where's your mask? And if I spot your mask not on you, here are the consequences of not using it. Right? We have to stay on message. You have to concede and admit we got off message over the last several months. Even on the talk shows. we going back to politics. And I understand that. But why what? Why not? Everybody else was going back to politics. COVID was secondary, tertiary maybe. Now we back to COVID. Stay on message. Leave the science, stay on message. Vaccine availability. The vaccines have to be available. There has to be more education, more understanding on it, delivered by the professionals, the trusted professionals. I think that we have to take the vaccine out of the national scheme of things and drill the vaccines down to the professionals who serve their patients. You got doctors in this country. Most of us have a doctor. Most of us have doctors we see with regularity when something goes wrong. Maybe we can partner with those doctors to go reach out to their patients and to be asking, listen, where are you with vaccination? Have you a concern? What is the concern? Here's my guidance to you. Move it down to the professional ranks. To the professional, medical professionals, to the pharmacies and what have you, and take it out of the political realm where trust is too heavily discounted. Push vaccine, make the government's job, secure the vaccine. the government's job, let other people who are able to get the vaccines, get them. So if you are a company that is able to get the vaccines, then go ahead. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And let the professionals administer the vaccines. But your job, availability. Your job, help with the training, the teaching, the understanding, the building of confidence. And then finally, it's leadership. You gotta lead. We gotta lead. We gotta lead. We have to have in our prime minister, we have to have in our cabinet ministers, we have to have in our senators, we have to have in our government and our members of parliament, we have to have in the leader of the opposition, we have to have in the members of the opposition, we have to have in our church leadership, we have to have in our educational institution, we have to have in our business community. We got to get on this same page, brethren, with respect to COVID. Vote how you want to vote. Play your politics how you want. Play your politics. But in terms of dealing with COVID, let's get on the same doggone page. Speak up. Let's get on that page, man. Let's lead. Let's lead our organizations. Let's lead our folk, our people. Employers in this country can be powerful. Help in encouraging, in informing and helping to educate people. You can get these professionals, medical professionals, to come in and talk to your folk by way of Zoom, etc. We can do this. But we got to lead. If you're sitting around waiting for the most honorable prime minister to do it, or the minister of health to do it, it's going to be short-circuited because they can't do everything. Pastors, bishops, come on, man, come on. Come on, dudes, what is it? Seriously? I have to tell you, I never heard you all, not every single one of you, but I've never heard you all so quiet in my life. I've never heard you so quiet in my life in terms of a public issue. What is going on? What's happening? I mean, on the gambling, you was front and center. On the gender equality, front and center. On all kinds of issues, front and center. Now, what's going on? Where's the encouragement of people to do the right thing, with socializing, with sanitizing? Where are you? What's going on? I said, no, you might be doing it in your individual church, but some of you are national figures, man. You got a national voice. Can we hear you? We need you. We do. Some of you businessmen, you can speak up for all kind of things when it's in your interest. All kind of stuff we can hear you on. You let the government raise one tax. You let the government cut one concession. All of a sudden, all hell break loose. You can't speak. You can't come on. You can't share something. You know what it'd be like to have a significant business leader come up and say, listen, X, Y, and Z, and we're encouraging the society to do X, Y, and Z. People trust you, some of you. People listen to you, many of you. You got to lead. And parents, if nobody else will, lead your own family. They're yours. Because at the end of the day, the basic unit of the society is the family. At the end of the day, it's what it is. I know we're getting ready for politics. And I know politics is thick in the air. And I'm telling you, if we're not careful, that same politics is going to undercut the very thing that makes a society capable of flourishing, which is its health and its well-being. If we're not careful, it's going to become front and center, and it's going to undermine the central issue. And we got to keep the first thing first. We can do the other things. As Jesus says, you know, you can do the one and not leave the other undone. But we have to keep the first thing first. And for all the reasons we want to end the COVID measures is all of the reasons we have to fight the COVID disease. because it's simply debilitating. It's simply a huge challenge. We need you, leaders. We need every single one of you. Y'all got to step up to the plate, man. You got to step up to the plate. I couldn't care less if the election was tomorrow. If you can't raise your voice in support of not the government, but in support of the, of working together and encouraging people to do the necessary to fight back against this disease, then what is it about? Dollars? Oh, really? Oh, I remember a story was told of a wealthy person who said, listen, I would give every dollar I had, and that person had billions, if I could have just one more day of good health. You decide what's most important. So this text is good day, Mr. Lang. You're making so much sense. Dead on, an excellent metaphor. Keep it going, sir. Appreciate it. Anyways, I am very concerned that we will not be focused enough. But I am also optimistic that we can get focused enough. And so I look forward as we move ahead how I'm making the decisions necessary to be in control as much as is possible of this very difficult situation. Y'all have a great evening. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us today. Nahaja Black is up next. God bless you. And we will talk to you again tomorrow.